The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Paul Pagano of Lung Life AI, a developer of next-generation diagnostics to identify and treat early-stage lung cancer. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, big Happy New Year, and huge congrats on yesterday's excellent validation study results for the company's flagship Lung LB test. But before we sort of dig into the details of that, I don't suppose you could quickly remind investors of what the test hopes to do, and also just broadly how it works.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to. So Lung LB helps with what most consider to be the biggest problem facing early lung cancer detection. That's with what's called the indeterminate lung nodule. There's over a million identified every single year in the United States alone. And what they are abnormal growths in the lungs. Sometimes they could be cancer, sometimes they're not cancer. And right now there are limited tools available to doctors to diagnose them in a timely manner. And as we all know, time is of the essence with cancer, but especially lung cancer. And what Lung LB is it's a liquid biopsy. It uses blood as a sample type, and we're measuring tumor cells that have entered the bloodstream. And right now it's shipped from the doctor's office to our lab in California. Once we receive it, we can usually get the test back within a week's time. These cells that we're looking for can sometimes be a challenge to find. They're very rare. They look like normal cells, but we've developed a lot of patented and proprietary processes to isolate them. And then we use an artificial intelligence algorithm that we've developed in order to help them identify them more readily. That algorithm, by the way, that's been deployed already, and it was used in our validation study that you speak of.
Well, it certainly did pretty well. Just to finish off that, though, I mean, in terms of the people that potentially the test could help, is it include? I mean, it's obviously smokers, but also non-smokers.
Yeah, lung cancer isn't just limited to smokers. Actually, around 25% of all individuals that are diagnosed with lung cancer today are former smokers, so people who've quit for many years, or individuals who have never smoked a day in their lives. And actually, the number of non-smoking lung cancers has been increasing year over year, especially in younger women in their 40s and 50s. So it's a very important area for us to look at.
Okay, good. Well, then let's move on to the excellent news from yesterday with the validation study. Can you just briefly just go through what it actually shows and how it sort of like rubber stamps the previous sort of more lab-based testing that was done?
Yeah, we were very pleased with the results of the validation study. Just by way of a reminder, we enrolled patients who had an indeterminate lung nodule that was scheduled to get a biopsy. That way we could compare the results of that biopsy to our Lung LB test. That took around a year and a half or so to enroll. The key metric here that we've been signaling to the market is positive predictive value. And basically what that says is, anytime you have a positive Lung LB test result, that individual has that likelihood of having cancer. And in this study, we report an 81% positive predictive value. Right now, that beats out what we consider physician judgment or physician ability to evaluate that lung nodule. That hovers around 60%. There's also another technology called positron emission tomography or PET scan. Basically, you inject radioactive sugar because cancer cells like to consume that sugar. And if it lights up, then it's more likely cancer. But we know that that performs poorly in small nodules. And that's really where Lung LB's sweet spot is. And that's where we saw that 81% PPV compared to 67% PPV in PET scan. So basically what we've seen is that Lung LB now has the ability to fill this very important gap for doctors, and it can complement existing technologies like PET that works better for larger nodules, but not so good for smaller nodules.
Right. Okay. So let's just assume, let's take an example. I'm a patient. I've got a bit of a dodgy cough. I haven't been a massive smoker in my life. I've given up, et cetera. I go to my doctor, been suffering, et cetera. And he has a look. I have a CT scan and it comes out with small nodules. But he says, actually, I'm not sure about doing a biopsy because of the actual risks. Would this test be equally applicable for people who the doctor would currently say, yes, you should have a biopsy, or no, we don't think you should have a biopsy because of the risks? Would it cover both angles?
Yeah, it would. And that's it's a great point to bring up because right now in the smaller nodules, most physicians will assume that they are more likely benign. And so they'll put those individuals on what we call a watchful waiting pathway, where they'll get another CT scan in 6 months or 12 months' time. But we've shown in our study that many of those nodules can actually be cancerous. And so it could be used for those individuals to maybe accelerate their CT scan, so maybe do a follow-up in 3 months instead of 6 or 12, or go off and receive that biopsy. Again, with an 81% positive predictive value, there's an 81% chance that that nodule is cancerous should the lung LB test be positive. And then on the flip side, you bring up individuals who the physician believes they should get a biopsy, but we know that biopsy is an imperfect tool. Sometimes I think it's around 20% of the time it comes back non-diagnostic. They didn't get enough cells, they missed the nodule. And if our lung LB test is positive, it may encourage the physician to keep trying. And the reason that's important is sometimes the biopsy process being very invasive can lead to harms to patients. They can have collapsed lung or bleeding, and that could deter them from receiving a secondary or even tertiary biopsy. We had a handful of individuals in our study that had two, three, or even four biopsies before they received a final diagnosis, where the lung LB test worked on the first time. So it could be that extra boost of encouragement to keep at that nodule so that you can get to the diagnostic more quickly.
And how much is a biopsy? How does it cost? I mean, all that's always the danger, because if you're having three or four of these things and you could replace it by one lung LB, you could see you're not only going to help the patient in terms of better outcomes, but all it's much safer
Yeah.
outcomes, but you're going to save an absolute packet for the hospitals.
You definitely can. I mean, safety is obviously the priority, but cost plays a role. These biopsies involve long needles that are guided by a CT scan. And so you have a team of usually four or five physicians, the patients in the CT scanner, and you're trying to advance this nodule as you're taking CT images or X-ray images of the patient. So you can imagine it's very expensive. It's been estimated around $14,000, $15,000 per biopsy. And that's if it goes well. If you have an adverse event that results in hospitalization, you have to stay overnight, the costs then jump to around $30,000, $40,000. So yeah, it could potentially be mitigated by a single lung LB test, which we have a national Medicare price of $2,000 per test. So the cost savings there is very obvious. We did that study and published it last year in the Journal of Medical Economics, showing the benefit of lung LB over current clinical practices.
Right, okay. And what's the sort of the balance of the test? Is it can be used for both a sort of rule in or rule out? I mean, I know it's obviously very good on the predictive side, to say whether yes it's positive, but it's also equally good on if it's a negative, it's just as accurate.
We believe it could be with a bit more development efforts. Right now, our initial step into the market is going to be as a rule-in test because we have
Okay.
such high positive predictive value. And physicians have signaled to us that's where they need the most assistance, right?
Okay.
If they do the watchful waiting pathway, if they don't get that green light, they can get dinged for not being aggressive enough on that cancer. But if they do believe it's cancer and they do the biopsy, even if it turns out not to be cancer, that's okay with them because it gives them peace of mind. It gives the patient peace of mind that they've done everything they can for that patient. So
Okay.
for us, the signal that we've been getting from the medical community is really the rule-in test, where that high positive predictive value is what's needed in the clinic.
Yeah, no, I get it. And then in terms of sort of like the number of sort of CT scans, you mentioned in the, you know, in the US, there's effectively previously about 1.6 million each year that are, you know, indeterminate, of which about a million are the small nodules. So what would be the sort of the sort of sweet spot addressable market then for sort of like, you know, of the, you know, to start off with the lung LB test?
Yeah, so there's around 1.5 million nodules detected every single year in the United States. What we found is that these smaller nodules, 15 millimeters or smaller, tend to be the sweet spot where lung LB has that 81% positive predictive value. That represents around 70% of all indeterminate lung nodules found in the US. They tend to skew towards the smaller end. And importantly, because of their size, they end up in what's called the intermediate risk category. And this is opposed to high or low risk for lung cancer. And again, this is where physicians have identified the lung LB will be needed the most. And at $2,000 a test, you know, 1 million indeterminate lung nodules, we're looking at upwards of a $2 billion total addressable market for lung LB.
Wow. So effectively, what you're saying is then the doctors, when they get a, you know, small lung nodule, the indeterminate, that they there's a strong possibility, well, that they need then a positive test, a, you know, positive predictive test to be able to help them to determine whether that is benign or cancerous. They're not going to use it for a, you know, anything else. It's basically not at the moment anyway. It'll be the small lung nodule, and all of that million is the requires a positive or, you know, test.
That's right. It gives them the green light to take action, to hit that nodule without everything they have, detect that cancer earlier. Remember, the earlier that you detect cancer in those smaller nodules, the better outcomes for patients.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, how do we get into doctors' hands then? What's the commercialization strategy to sort of like help patients and reduce healthcare costs?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. Anytime you introduce a new technology into the healthcare setting, it's going to take a very methodical approach. So for us, rather than hire a large sales force, we're going to start what's called a commercial proof of concept. What I mean by this is we're not only going to understand that the test is useful to physicians and their patients, because that's obviously very important, but we also want to show that we can undergo the reimbursement process. Essentially, here in the United States, how you get paid for your test. And that may seem obvious to you that we should do that first, but I've seen it enough times where significant sums are essentially spent on sales activities before reimbursement is worked out, and that rarely pans out well. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna have what's called an early access program. This is designed really to help us work out the commercial logistics. For example, is the ordering process simple? Are turnaround times acceptable? Are the lung LB test results easy to interpret? It's also going to allow us to dip our toes into what's called clinical utility. This is where you understand if the test results helps with the physician decision-making, if it helps with the patient feel more comfortable with the nodule evaluation and workup process. Now, utility studies cost money to run. They take a lot of time. So it would be very nice to have an understanding if doctors and patients find the lung LB test for nodule evaluation useful before going down that pathway. And all of this, this early access program, can be done in a focused, low-cost setting with our existing clinical partners and early adopters.
And how long, what sort of duration do you think of this sort of like, you know, early program?
Yeah, we estimate the early access program to take anywhere between 3 and 6 months. It will enroll a fixed number of patients. And then during that time, we'll provide the lung LB test in a commercial setting. But then we'll also get feedback from our physician partners on things like the logistics, the turnaround time, the whether or not the lung LB test was effectively used in their clinics.
Okay. Good. And then sort of like, and I know this is very hypothetical, but given the terrific validation study results, presumably that gives the board a bit of optionality. In fact, I did notice that on the non-exec board, there's a young lady called Sarah Barrington from Verici, who is also the CEO of that company and has brought one of the big world diagnostics companies to help them commercialize their sort of kidney transplant test. Would that be the kind of thing that would be an option that the board would consider?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, generally in healthcare, there's quite a bit of consolidation activities looking at the ability to complement someone's technology with, let's say, a larger company or a more established company's sales force, right? That way you can get this technology out to those patients who need it most. And anything that can accelerate that, we believe here at Lung Life that would be a good thing for patients. And so, yeah, that would be something that we would look into and consider.
Okay, good. And then just in terms of sort of future R&D, I know you mentioned in the statement yesterday that obviously the small lung nodules was going to be the sort of the primary area of focus in the short term. But how do you see this test or the maybe other tests sort of developing and how do you see sort of, you know, what areas that it could also be used and applied to?
Yeah, you know, for future R&D, really improving the lung LB test performance is going to be the major focus of R&D efforts, because the thing about, you know, being great is that you have to keep on being great. Right? Apple didn't stop at iPhone 1. They kept refining, they kept innovating to get where they are today. So for us at Lung Life, if we want to keep competing at this level, we have to continue to improve lung LB. And we've actually been working on our second generation of the lung LB test for some time now. A lot of that work is going to be accelerated with our partnerships, especially the one with the Early Detection Research Network. That's with the National Cancer Institute here in the United States. As a reminder, what we're doing with them is we're looking to combine information from the lung LB test with additional biomarkers that are identified via imaging or the nasal epithelium. These are coming out of UCLA and Boston University, in order to improve the nodule evaluation process in an independent validation study. So it's sort of a second external validation that doctors will literally look to as being important. But in terms of other areas, you know, one area that I think is very important is looking at pulmonary fibrosis. It is the biggest independent risk factor for lung cancer, even beyond smoking. And right now there's a dearth of diagnostic tools available to understand if that patient has cancer or if it's just a fibrosis, a scar tissue that's forming. And so looking specifically at how we can expand the indicated use for lung LB to get earlier and earlier in the lung cancer detection pathway is something that this company will be focused on.
What about also the companion diagnostics? Because obviously there's a lot of immunotherapies and new technologies in terms of once a patient has actually been diagnosed with lung cancer, then they go on these particular drugs, then seeing them actually work, et cetera.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So right now, the standard of care for early detected lung cancer is either surgery or radiotherapy. Typically, drugs are added in very few instances, but there is a plethora of targeted therapies for certain mutations, for example, EGFR or ALK or even KRAS mutations. Patients can take a drug that will selectively kill tumor cells that harbor those mutations. But unfortunately, all of those drugs have been earmarked for late stage disease. If you have stage 4, that's when you get them. But we believe at Lung Life that our test is going to be able to push more individuals from stage 4 into stage 1. And now you have a lot of those folks who are available to take what are called adjuvant or neoadjuvant. So before or after surgery, they'll be able to take these drugs, and it might give those cancers that 1-2 hit, remove the bulk of it with the surgical process, and then add a drug that targets the EGFR mutation or ROS or ALK and remove any tumor cells that maybe have migrated and entered the bloodstream to prevent recurrence, which can happen quite often in lung cancer. So we believe that there's going to be a significant opportunity to partner with pharmaceutical companies that want to repurpose their late stage disease drug in the early stage setting. And we believe that that's going to be facilitated by the lung LB test.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely brilliant, wouldn't it? So if you got a lung LB test which said, yes, unfortunately, you've got sort of like, you know, cancerous nodule that needs to get removed. You then have the drug that actually hopefully treats it. And then you find out with another test that actually has worked. I mean, that would be brilliant without any surgery.
Oh, absolutely. And what's unique about our test, and I haven't found another test like this in the market, is, there's two components to blood. There's the cells, which is what we look at, and then there's the plasma. And from the plasma, you can get that mutation information. So I can say, well, the lung LB test is positive. Now let me take the plasma and see if there's an EGFR mutation or a KRAS mutation. Yes, there is. And so I can not only tell the physician, yes, the lung LB test is positive, but this individual harbors a KRAS mutation. And so then they can send that individual off to have that cancer removed. And then they can decide whether or not they want to add a KRAS inhibitor to that patient's treatment regimen.
That is fabulous news. Okay, great. Well, big congrats again, Paul. And just for sort of future news flow, like, when is it the sort of prelims? Is it going to be sort of like, I don't know, April or May or something like that for the next news flow?
Yeah, likely around that time. It's not in the calendar yet, but that's
Yeah.
definitely something to look out for. In terms of starting our early access program, that's going to be something that's very important for the company. And then some potentially interesting industry tailwinds that are coming. One of the main Medicare contractors is considering what's called a foundational local coverage determination, or LCD, for indeterminate lung nodules that use a molecular biomarker. So in this case, DNA or RNA. And
Right.
because the lung LB test uses FISH, that's based on DNA, we believe that lung LB could potentially be eligible under that foundational LCD. Now, nothing's been finalized yet, and nothing is guaranteed, but if it were to be, that could be a good boost for the lung LB test in terms of the reimbursement pathway. Now, it isn't guaranteed,
Yeah.
so while it would be helpful, we continue on our course. But if it does come out, we'll certainly let the market know of any changes.
Great. Okay. And I'll just highlight to investors that Investec put a new note out yesterday reiterating their target price of £2.21. So a significant upside from the current share price. And I know you've been really busy over heading into Christmas doing all the data analysis and probably between Christmas and New Year as well. So I think you can probably justifiably crack open a bottle of champagne tonight, given the success of the company. So really well done, Paul, and look forward in hearing the news going forward.
Thank you so much, Paul. Pleasure speaking with you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.